Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York City.
Yeah, and Westchester and Rockland County, too. How about that?
Yes, and everybody.
Hey, you know what? I got a lot of friends in Westchester now and Rockland County. Every time I go up there, I make more friends. I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy Edwards, my buddy.
And you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Yeah, this is where you want to tune the dial. If you're in your car, that's great. It means you're going to either church or you're going to get some donuts or you're going to get some coffee. Hopefully, you won't be under a foot of snow later this week. Although, I think aren't we supposed to the Eastern Seaboard?
Well, we're supposed to just miss it.
But I think it's going to hit New York again, isn't
it?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. What is the deal, guys? It's baseball season. It's baseball season. It's officially truck day. I hate to give anybody credit, but the Red Sox threw all their stuff in the trucks. The Nationals did the same thing. Did the Yankees and Mets do that?
I don't know.
I didn't read anything about them.
I've been reading
the Post and the Times for 2 days trying to keep up with New York.
I don't think the Nationals do anything like that.
No, they did.
Well, in Boston, it's a big deal. It's almost like a party. So that's why it was, front.
No, they don't party in Boston. They don't party in Boston. Are you kidding me? I've never seen anybody party in Boston. I've been to Boston probably a dozen times in my life for sporting events. I've never been there just to visit. I was up there for like a Ryder Cup that was unbelievable. That was the biggest comeback of all on the final day at the Country Club in Brookline, Mass. And I was up there that same year. They had the All-Star game there, I want to say. And I've been up there for several, championship series in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. I was up there when all the steroid shooters, Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco.
So you probably saw a good home run derby.
I saw balls just pummeled out of that park. The time that Sosa and McGwire were in the All-Star game in Boston, we're talking about Boston, but that's the way my mind works. I got to tell you something. I met a guy that reminds me of me, and not many people remind me of me. And it's hard to know what you're like, but I'm told that what I'm like sometimes, and I apologize.
Not always in the nicest of words.
I apologize, but listen, Mike Vec, for those of you that would know, are probably over the age of 40 or 50 or 60, Bill Vec was one of the greatest owners in the history of the major leagues. He owned the Cubs. He owned the St. Louis Browns before they became the Baltimore Orioles. But he did some of the craziest stuff in the history. It was all about, he was a showman. But what Bill Vec did, and I had the pleasure to see Mike talk about his dad. Bill Vec would have been 100 years old today. Now, for all you guys like Bob Wolf that I hope is listening to our show, and Bob, I still can't tell you how much of a pleasure it was to sit down and work with you a couple of weeks ago. That was the greatest thing. I mean, the day I die, I'll think about that because you are a legend and you're phenomenal. But you knew Bill Vec. And Bill Vec, there's a book out. It's a great book, by the way. The name of this book is, unbelievably, Bill Vec, Baseball's Greatest Maverick, and it's written by Paul Dixon. And Paul Dixon's a great writer. He was there yesterday, too. And I got to tell you, this guy, I mean, his son, Mike's got to be 60-ish. He's about my age. But he owns the Charleston River Dogs. Easy to remember that name because that's the name of my summer team. And he also owns the St. Paul Saints up in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. Everything came out of this guy's mouth was the best stand-up comedy I've ever heard. I mean, he just had some of the greatest stories to tell. And honestly, I wish I could hear the guy just do stand up. He's that great. But we're getting ready for baseball season. We're going to talk briefly about one of the worst Super Bowls I ever saw. The worst Super Bowl I ever saw, I fell asleep at. I kid you not. I was in New Orleans.
Was this last week?
No. I wasn't asleep last week. It's hard to go to sleep. There was a lot of pretty neat stuff going on.
Yeah,
it made for an ugly game because it wasn't close.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that game was over as soon as the 12th man got into it.
First snap
of the day, the ball, you know, Peyton's trying to check off he's trying to change the call.
Mm-hmm.
And center can't tell. He can't hear Peyton trying to change the call. He didn't hear Peyton's command because Peyton has to say something for them. And it definitely wasn't Omaha because he only said it three times.
The under was
big time on that. And I gave you an under, and that was I told you that woman would sing the national anthem easily under 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close.
It was like 157.
She was phenomenal. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be sang.
A good job.
Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be sang. I mean, you can invent any kind of way you want to do it. You know, unless you're, you know, one of the founding fathers of our country. You can't change the way. Who was the guy that wrote the national anthem?
Dude outside of Baltimore.
Oh, my God. You don't know? It wasn't Philip Sousa.
No, it's...
I should know this. I'm just trying to remember. Patrick Henry? No, that was somebody else.
He did it outside of the...
He did it at Fort McHenry, right? He wrote it outside of Fort McHenry when the bombs were bursting in air.
That's going to drive me crazy.
You're right. This is a testament to our lousy history classes
that we
have.
I live in Baltimore. I have a minor in history.
But anyway, to make a long story short,
Francis Scott Key.
It was one of those guys like Lee Harvey Oswald. He's got three names. So was Francis Scott Key an assassin? I mean, because he's about the only guy I know with three names that hasn't killed somebody.
I believe he was a prisoner.
I'm Bruce Hall, and I just tell it like it is.
He was a prisoner on a boat when he wrote that.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
See, I know all the details about it. I just didn't know his name.
Well, you know what, Roy? It just gets worse. You're 28.
<It does.
laughs> You're 28. I'm 60. Believe me, it's going to get worse.
I know less than I knew last week.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you read, you'll learn more. But I got to tell you, that game sucked. And it didn't just suck because I released Denver. That was my second loss of the entire playoffs. But guess what I hit? I hit the over because it was a phenomenal hedge. I hit the over. The over was 47.5
almost did that.
And by the way, people, if you don't think I'm a good handicapper, go to nhbowl.com, nhbowl.com. Click on it. They've got everything off except for my name. I am the champion this year.
Yeah, right.
I was number one. And it was only because of how great of a playoff I had. I ended up 11-2-1. Is that right? I was 10-1-1, 11-2-1. Correct. I ended up 11-2-1. If I'd have been in Vegas, I'd still be there. I'd still be there. I'd just stay in Vegas till the money runs out and call Carol and tell her to buy me a plane ticket home. Send me home. Carol, I'm broken. Can I come home?
Carol, all the money's gone.
But I got to tell you, also, I have to go out there now. I leave for spring training. Have we already used up?
This is We Are the Champions.
Oh, We Are the Champions. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, that was a quick segment right there.
Well, we're almost there.
Well, let's talk briefly about the game, okay?
Sure.
Russell Wilson was everything we knew he was. He did a phenomenal job. You know, he threw for 206 yards.
Denver forced him to beat them. Marshawn Lynch was not the leading
rusher.
That's
exactly right.
Percy Harvin was the leading rusher.
They stopped the run. Yeah. The big plays killed him.
Forced Russell Wilson to beat him,
and
he did.
Their defensive backfield killed him.
They couldn't tackle
anybody. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure the receivers for the Seattle Seahawks got tired of hearing how average they were.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They were above average. And how about Percy Harvin?
Yeah.
I don't care how much you paid him. When he ran back the kickoff for a touchdown. Two plays took 12 seconds, and they got 14 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Seahawks will be back. They may lose one or two people, but they're not going to lose
many. They're young, man.
Well, not only that, they don't have to pay a lot of people for a long time.
Right. Russell They're Wilson all still signed. On his rookie deal for another couple of years.
Oh, by the way, you're going to hear Beatles songs because we're at the this is the 50th anniversary of the Beatles coming to America this week. And I love the Beatles. And, yeah, I'm one of those kids that sang the Beatles songs and drove his parents crazy every single night. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Love me do.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I got a buddy of mine, Ron Middleton, on the phone. Ron, you there?
I'm here, Bruce. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. One of the guys who knows my real name. Hey, listen.
My bad.
Ron, I get no. I'm glad. Listen, I'm to my best friends. I'll always be beef. Shoot, I got a license plate that still says it. But listen, it's so good to have you on. I can't wait to see you at the combine. I'm trying to get credentials from the NFL. It's hard to get the right guy to call me back, but I'm going to go to the combine this year and watch you guys work hard and earn your money, and improve that team of yours. You guys started out. Ron is the tight ends coach, correct? Ron with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right?
That's right.
Let's give them a little background for the people that haven't heard you. Let's see if I can get this right. You've been so many places. You started out at Troy, right? And you were You were at Troy State in Alabama. And what did I tell you 20-some years ago? You were born to be a coach, right? Didn't I say that? So you end up at Troy with some people I know, or some people you knew really well. Was Wayne Bolt still there, or was he at Auburn now?
He was.
Oh, he was at Troy? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was defensive coordinator.
That's unbelievable. So he was there. Who was the head coach at Troy? It's a really good coach, right?
Yeah, Larry Blakeney.
That's right.
He's actually still the head coach there.
So anyway, he was there. You go there. You're there for, what, 3 years, 2 or 3 years?
2 seasons,
yeah. And then you ended up somewhere else. Where did you go?
I went to Ole Miss December of 98 with Cut.
Yeah, you went with David Cutcliffe, who, by the way, did he win NCAA Coach of the Year this year, or was he just ACC Coach of the Year?
I think he won. He won the National Coach of the Year.
Let me tell you, David Cutcliffe, in my opinion, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think he's the best offensive mind in the game. I don't care if it's the NFL or college ball. Everywhere he goes, they move the football. They don't make mistakes. He coaches. He's coached Peyton Manning when he was the quarterback's coach at Tennessee, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then when he went to Ole Miss as a head coach, I want to say that was Cut's first head job, wasn't it?
It was. That's right.
And you ended up going with him, and you were like the only thing I know is you stood next to him on the sideline almost the entire game.
Time.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And you were lean back then. You were probably 2-something then. But but anyway, you ended up being there for 5 years with Eli, right? Wasn't Eli there 5 years?
He was. Yeah, he was there 5 years.
A lot of people don't know it. Eli redshirted a year. He actually went there a year early and got a little bit of work. So anyway, so you're at Ole Miss. I got to see you guys play there. He turns Ole Miss into a winner, and you turn their tight ends into professional guys that know how to play the NFL game too. You were also assistant special teams coach, right?
For the first 2 years, and then the last three, I was the coordinator.
Wow! But now, tell me about special teams. That is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an integral part of the game, and it's a lot easier when the head coach puts as much emphasis on special teams as need be, and Cut definitely did that.
Well, I got to tell you, there are three facets of the game, right? Offense, defense, and special teams, and you really can't afford to be slack on any of them, right, and be a winner.
Not at all.
Now, when you left Ole Miss, I'll never forget. I mean, you left early and went to Tampa Bay. You gave me a call one day. I got a call from you, and it was like, Beef, I'm in Tampa Bay. Well, you're down there with John Gruden, right?
Sure was, for 3 years.
And I'll never forget, I came to visit you. You know, I was lucky enough to be able to stand on the sidelines and watch you guys play the Redskins, I think. And I even saw your you had a playoff game down there, too. And that might have been against the Redskins, too, that year. It was one of the few years the Redskins were ever in the playoffs, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we can say that because you got a ring on your finger because of Joe Gibbs, right? And all your players. So anyway, you're there for like 3 years. They re-up you. Then all of a sudden you get a call from a guy named, what's his name, Saban? Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, yes.
You end up at the University of Alabama. And I got to tell you, when we spoke the first time when you ended up in Alabama, I think we were both in shock. First of all, tell everybody where you went to college, Ron.
I'm a War Eagle, man. Auburn.
He went to Auburn, and he's working for Nick Saban in Alabama. I knew that this wasn't going to work, but it did work, and you did a lot of recruiting. As a matter of fact, you were there his first year when we started rebuilding that offensive line, right?
I was. That's right.
And I remember being down there when you were just getting, you know, you were doing all kinds of stuff. But anyway, you were there a year. Then you end up cut, gets the job at Duke, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you end up back at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, which is a little bit, you know, which is a great place to work. And David's back there. Were you there 4 years with him?
I was there 5 years with him.
5 years. 5 years, yep. with the best offensive mind in football. And now you're with Jacksonville. You got a great head coach. You got
awesome.
Really good, really good coaching staff. I mean, tell everybody who the head coach is and tell them what you're expecting to see probably this next year out of this group.
Well, our head coach is Gus Bradley. He was the defensive coordinator at Seattle prior to coming to Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're not bad.
No, they're not bad. And he played an integral part in building that defense. That was so stellar this year. So, his imprint. And you know, if you want to see what the profile that we're working on, you can look at Seattle. We're going to work on that profile. So, not saying that we're going to get it done next year or maybe even a year after, but That's the model right there.
Now, Ron, you've been working all of the, getting ready for the draft, obviously. You've been working all the college all-star games. You've worked two that I know of. And being a tight ends coach, we're not going to give away any secrets here. But I know, you know, I kind of know who you like. And we've talked a little bit about that. And let me ask you a question. Do you think the offense is going to get a new quarterback, or do you think that you're going to try to work with the kid from Michigan that's there right now as your starter?
Well, you know, that's still up in the air. You know, like you said, this evaluation process, it's in the early stages right now. We have done the as a staff, we did the Senior Bowl, of course. Prior to that, like you said, myself and the running backs coach, we coached the East-West game,
right?
So we've had firsthand knowledge of some of the top college players. Thing about that though, a lot of the talent that's coming out this year are
they're juniors,
so we didn't get a chance to see some of those guys. Exactly.
To say that we're going after
quarterback, it's still too early to tell, Bruce. We've, like I said, right now we're in the process of evaluating unrestricted free agents.
Right.
You know, that's the thing right now. And then after we've done with that, we'll go to the combine, do that deal, and then come back. And then kids have workouts. And in between that, you know, the free agent market will be open. So there's a lot going on right now, and to pinpoint and say exactly where we are and exactly what we're thinking right now.
Hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say right now.
No, I hear you. And I got to tell you, you said something very interesting to me. Unrestricted free agents. When you were in Washington, there was a general manager for the Redskins named Bobby Beathard. Bobby Beathard wouldn't you say, was probably the top GM in the game that back then? I would say he was.
No question. Yeah. He was the main one I knew, so that helped a lot.
Well, he signed you, Ron. Now you were in Cleveland before you came to Washington, right?
My second stint, yes. My first stint, I was at Atlanta and came, and then I left and went to Cleveland and came back. But Bobby Bethard and Charlie Casserly were instrumental in my Redskins career, and even my San Diego year I played at San Diego, Bobby Bethard was the general manager there also.
Yeah, he was there with Bobby Ross. Now, you finished out your career in L.A., I know, because Chuck Knox was your coach, right?
That's correct.
Chuck Knox he's a legend, man. And Chuck Knox, that was the last game ever played in the Coliseum, as a matter of fact. And
to this day,
the league is desperately trying to put a team back in L.A. as we speak. And I got to tell you something, Ron. If they decide to move the Jaguars to L.A., is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, that's Bruce, I love it here in Jacksonville. I know that the fan, we have great fans here in Jacksonville, and they support the Jaguars, and that's key to any organization. But you know, those types of decisions, that's above my pay grade. wherever they are, I'm going to be with them for a long time, and you know, we're going to make the best out of it wherever we are. But I tell you, we really, really love these fans here in Jacksonville.
Well, you know, I was there for a Super Bowl with the Eagles, and you were there with me, as a matter of fact. Oh, maybe you weren't there with me because you were coaching at the time, I think. I can't remember. I know Brian Mitchell was there. But anyway, Ron and I used to spend a lot of times in the off season together. And I got to tell you, you grew my love for the game of National Football League. Because just knowing you and what a class act that you are, and I got to tell you, everybody isn't like you, Ron. I mean, there's a lot of guys that big league you, you know, that are around the league. And, you know, and it's easy for me to know who those guys are because you know who they are. When you call, they don't return your call, you know, because they're just they're just too cool to call you back. They're too cool for school.
Yeah.
But, Ron, hey, listen, man, I can't tell you how proud I am of you. And I can't tell you how proud I am of what they're doing down there. You guys started out 0-8 this year, and you finished on high notes. And from what I understand, the fans were going crazy at the end of the year because you guys were in every game, and you were winning ball games at the end of the year.
Exactly. It's a process, and that's what makes Gus so phenomenal. When we were 0-8, when we won four or five. He was the same, upbeat, positive, kept his eye on the process, on the goal, you know, and it was the same message day in and day out. Hey, guys, we got to get better. We got to get better. You're not competing with anyone but yourself. You're trying to be the best player that you can possibly be, however good that might be.
Right.
And that was the message. And I think the guys, the players, they bought into that culture and that atmosphere, and it never changed. And NFL players, when there's less change, the better it is. And that was the culture and atmosphere Gus created. And that's why I feel real strongly that we're going to really – the Jaguars are going to do some great things here in the near future, in my opinion.
I think they are, too. And I think you're in the right division. You just got to kick those in. I think Indianapolis is in that division. We're going to beat them. Ron, I can't thank you enough for calling in. I want to wish you good luck. And listen, you and me, buddy, at the Combine, I know I can't get down there on the field with you, but I'll be in the stands somewhere, okay?
I'll sit up there with you then, B, for sure.
You got it, man. Ron Middleton, tight end coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars and one of the best friends in the world to me. This is Bruce Hall. Hey, take care, brother.
Bro.
You be good. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Show I care. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Yes, you know it's true.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. Big thanks to Ron Middleton and the Jacksonville Jaguars tight end coach for joining us there for a quick segment. And
Class act, right, Bruce?
I don't know if I've ever told anybody this, but I grew up a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, actually, so that's pretty cool.
Now, how did you do that? Because Mark Brunell was your guy?
I love Mark Brunell. Natron Means was there. Jimmy Smith. Keenan McCardell. I mean,
Keenan McCardell. He was a Redskin, too.
Yeah,
he started out with the Redskins.
He was a wide receivers coach for the Redskins.
But he started out as a player with the Redskins.
Yeah. Well,
he was with the Redskins first.
I grew up a Redskins fan because I live in D.C. I was born and raised in the D.C. area, but my grandmother lived in Florida when the Jaguars came in, I want to say, 96, and I was in elementary school, you know, just starting to get into sports. So my grandmother would always buy me all kinds of Jaguar stuff because they were the new team or whatever, and they had a really
pretty fuchsia color.
Yeah, so I got
that fuchsia?
So I lost, like, fantasy football every year. I was in my dad's league.
It's not really fuchsia.
And I lost fantasy football every year because I drafted Mark Brunell and Natron Means and...
Yeah, but they were in the playoffs pretty right. Well, you know, Tom Coughlin, who's now has been the Giants head coach for several years now. I mean, you know, he got his start towards the Hall of Fame in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And the Maras gave him the job, actually, the GM at the time, who's not the GM anymore, with the Giants, hired him. It might have been president of football operations. I'm trying to think of his name, the big guy that passed away. But he gave Tom Coughlin the job in New York. And, you know, he didn't win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville, but he certainly got close to playing in the game a couple of times.
Yeah, they were I remember they made the postseason. Their first ever postseason appearance was, I want to say it was the Bengals missed an extra point after they scored a touchdown that would have tied it up, and they missed an extra point. That sent the Jaguars to the playoffs.
I remember that. So, I remember Natron Means was a stud. Did he go to University of North Carolina? I think he did. And he was like 260 pounds.
Oh, he was a big boy.
Yeah,
he was the bus.
But he was faster than the bus.
Yeah, and he wore that dark visor so you couldn't see his face. That was back before they got rid of the
visors. And he got
visors.
Injured pretty badly. I'll never forget because I don't think Natron Means played but 7 or 8 years in the league. He may not have played that long. And he was gone before he started. And I think it was because he just tore his knee up and he gained about 100 pounds and just said, to hell with that. I'm not going back. I got enough money. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here with Roy and Matt. We're going over some stuff. You know, we talked enough about the Super Bowl. If you want to talk about the Super Bowl, give us a call because we'll throw everything at you. I've watched it 6 times. It's just as bad the 6th time as it was the first time.
Mainly he's rewatching Bruno Mars, though.
The game was over. The game was over after the first snap of the game with a safety because Peyton, who was mic'd up, goes to the sideline and says to his head coach, "We got to go silent count. I can't hear a thing." And that's like playing in Seattle. Well, they're very good in Seattle.
That first snap already cost somebody $70,000. Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
The guy bet is a jewelry store, and I want to say Alabama. He bet the public. He said anyone who bought.
They have jewelry stores in Alabama?
It was a furniture store. I know the
no,
story.
No, no, no.
It was a costume jewelry store.
The furniture store guy bet on the Broncos, and he lost $7 million. The guy who owned the jewelry store lost $70,000. He said anybody who bought jewelry during the 2-week period leading up to the Super Bowl, he would give them a full refund if there was a safety in the game. And he tweeted out or Facebooked out, whatever it was, that, you know, he right before the start of the game, let's get this over with so we can watch the rest of the game. And then sure enough, first play of the game, less than 30 seconds in the game, the guy lost $70,000.
Matt, I'm looking at Twitter, and there's something from a guy named Turtle, what is it called?
Please don't say my Twitter name on there.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm pretty sure you know this guy. And it says, making baseball a little less boring, barely. I'm going to shoot that guy the next time I see him, whoever he is. You can just tell him
look
that.
Look at it. You'll
and
enjoy
I have
it.
A permit to carry, by the way. So don't put,
not
listen,
Maryland.
Baseball's never boring. The most boring games in baseball, you know what we call those? Those are pitching duels.
Click on it. The Royal Talk.
I don't even want to hear
what
that
it?
Stuff.
Go look at it.
I just I love Twitter. I tweet. I send Jess Rude a direct message. By the way, the Arizona Diamondbacks just signed the guy I wanted signed in San Francisco, Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna end up making about $26.5 million if they buy him out after 2 years. He's the only guy pitching that I'm aware of that's pitched 9 straight years over 200 innings. That's pretty impressive.
Big part of he was in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, and he was in a bandbox of a ballpark mm-hmm. where if you have to hit a high fly ball to right center or left center, and it's gone. It's a lot like Camden Yards, Cincinnati.
Camden Yards.
Yeah, and supposedly the Orioles were in the running to get Bronson Arroyo.
The Orioles threw their name out there to make their other fans think that they were actually going to make an off-season move.
If I was an Oriole fan, man, I think I would buy season tickets to see the Nationals.
They're making a big play. Or
wouldn't you?
I mean, we play Baltimore, and I'm a National season ticket holder, so absolutely that's what I would do. But Adam Jones came out and said that he would want to make a push for A.J. Burnett, who is, 37? I think he just turned 37. And Yankees fans know all about sending deals to A.J. Burnett. That's a great investment for them a couple of years ago. But the guy is now being rumored to,
Nats.
He said that the Nationals. And he said that he wants to return to Pittsburgh. And he went on a radio show.
That ain't happening.
I'm going back to Pittsburgh or I'm retiring. Think about who is making a push for him right now. The Nationals, who you're going to be their fifth starter, so that you're not going to get a big contract. You're 37. You're not going to get much. And then the Pirates and the Orioles, two of the teams who don't spend any money, and they just let their guys walk. So, I mean, retirement might not be that bad of an option for A.J. Burnett right now.
You know, I mean, you're looking at, if you're the Nats, you're looking right now, Detweiler's your five.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to him as your five, or even as your four or five, mm-hmm. you're going to be a little more solid, but how much does he have left in the tank? He's only going to get a year, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
He's only going to get 1 year. He's probably going to get $8 to $10 million max, no matter where he goes. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I don't think the Orioles even want to write an $8 million check for him. Orioles have pretended to be after, six guys now?
Yeah.
And all of them signed somewhere else.
And all
they brought the best pitcher they're going to see this year to Baltimore, the relief pitcher Ryan Balfour.
Mm-hmm.
They bring him in. He flunks the physical. How do you flunk the physical? He didn't flunk the physical where he signed. No, not donuts, Matt. Yeah. It's not because of donuts. I'm Bruce Hall.
It's those crab cakes.
You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're having some fun this
morning.
But A.J.
Burnett, he has a house in Baltimore County.
In Maryland,
it's in Moncton, actually. I mean, it's a beautiful house. I drive by it every time I go to
that would be the obvious place for him to play. His wife still lives in that house. He's got friends in the Baltimore area. He's got friends in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been around the block. He knows several of the players in Washington, evidently. I just like this. You know, personally, it sounds to me like he's not really that motivated to play anyway. I think that Burnett's probably made his money. I think he's probably happy where he is. I think he's got a little left in the tank, though.
I think he ends up staying in
Pittsburgh. I think you may see him sign in June or July with a contender or with a would-be contender.
Yeah.
Somebody that needs that extra arm to maybe take him to the next level. And as we're seeing, that happens all the time in baseball now.
Yeah.
It happened a lot when Roger Clemens was using steroids. And, you know, he'd go, he was 46 years old when he was pitching. I guess, who did he pitch for at the end? Not Toronto. It was the Yankees, right? Wasn't Clemens with the Yankees last?
Well, he pitched. Did he pitch for Houston a couple years ago? I know he was in their minor league team.
Yeah, but
he that
wasn't competitive. He signed with Houston.
Yeah.
And
pitched against his son in a minor league game.
It was
free hot dog.
Yeah, he only did that just for effect. And it was, that was something that Mike Vec would do. Well, Mike Vec signed Roger Clemens to one of his independent league teams, and he pitched last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was his independent league team in the Atlantic League.
Well, speaking of joke of a minor league system, did you see the USFL with the Hefty Lefty? He was the former backup for Eli Manning.
I listened to his interview on the Junkies the other morning on Monday morning.
It was a great interview. Yeah,
it was a great interview.
Jared Lorenzo.
Can't believe I just talked about the Junkies on 106.7.
320 pounds. New York fans.
He's heavier than that now, though.
No, he's 320 now.
Oh, bull.
He was, well.
Did you see the picture of him? He's about 350.
He's bigger than their lineman. He was 280 when he was on the Giants roster.
Well, he had to make weight. He had to make weight every week.
And he was a fat boy in college too, man. Well, I should. He was a bigger gentleman in college for Kentucky, but that boy can still move, man.
He had to be between 288 and 292 when he was with the Giants.
He had the two greatest, the two greatest nicknames in all sports. He had the Hefty Lefty and the Pillsbury Throwboy. It doesn't get any better in sporting nicknames.
The Pillsbury Throwboy,
great name. But he can still sling the rock, man.
Absolutely, he can. Without question.
If you haven't seen the videos, check them out. They're great. New York fans, I know you guys will get a kick out of it because he was your backup for – I believe he has a ring with the Giants.
Yeah. Hey, look, for those of you out there that think that we're just totally ignoring the Olympics
– We are.
We kind of are. Now, I mean, I've watched the Olympics. It's really weird that it's not on live. You know, everything's mm-hmm. delayed because – Well, yeah, you can get it online. I don't do that. I don't want to cheat. Evidently, we're doing okay in the new type of snowboarding event. We won two golds.
Yep.
The boy and the girl both won.
And then we have a bronze.
I'd tell you their name, but I really don't care.
You keep inventing the events, though.
It's hard
to lose the
things. I saw our best shot at figure skating in the team event. She had a really good routine last night and did real well.
Jamie Anderson and Sage Kotzenberg both have men's.
Roy isn't the guy you want pronouncing
Jamie,
your name.
The worst at names. I will butcher them.
Huckleberry.
But, those are the two golds right now, and they're both in the slopestyle snowboarding event, which is, I believe, a new event.
The USA hockey team won. They beat Finland 3-1 last night.
That's good.
That was a good game. Unless it was a replay, because I was in a restaurant watching it. No, they played.
I don't think so.
No, I think
they
the did.
That was
maybe
a replay.
It was the girls. It wasn't the guys because
no,
the Caps played last night.
Yeah.
So the NHL games were still going on last night.
Yeah, but he's already gone. All of those guys are gone. Oh, I see what you're saying.
No, the NHL.
So they're not going to start until that's over.
Yeah,
well, it'll probably be this week is when the hockey games will start. I mean, it might have been the girls. I don't know the game.
Going on because I just watched
women's
Canada
hockey. It could have been women's hockey.
Decimate.
Well, then maybe it was the U.S. Boy, they looked like men.
It could have been women.
They looked like men the way they were skating around.
It took me a while to figure that out when I was watching.
Drug test.
I was watching.
Let's talk about what everybody else is talking about. Let's not talk about the president yet. We'll talk about him later because I mean, I'm not even a big fan and I hated what I saw. That we'll talk about that when we get back because it's already making me mad. If you want to hear me go on a rant,
it was women's hockey.
They look great for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, Roy Edwards, and Matt. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So for those of you wanting to follow along at home, the men's hockey starts Wednesday, February 12th. And last night was the women's hockey. Bruce, you had me scared there for a second. Very, very scared there. But we do have a caller.
No, we don't.
We don't have a caller?
John Lacotte is trying to call in. Matt's just hanging up on him.
Hanging up on people.
No big deal. Anyway, we'll get him back. John is the head of a great organization of former wrestlers that I'm actually a member of. And he's going to call in and explain what's going on. We're also getting dangerously close to the regionals, districts. John, you there, buddy?
This is Ron, Bruce.
Hey, Ron. You're calling back. Never mind. Dave, Ron, thanks for picking up, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk to you, okay. And I'm going to talk to you soon.
Hey, go Jags.
Okay, B.
Go Jaguars.
Go Jaguars.
Yeah, buddy. So, anyway.
Our producer's just having a great day.
Yeah, it's really tough. I really can't fire him because he's my only guy.
Needs more
904, coffee. Yeah, that's not Licata. He's a 703 anyway, goofball.
He needs more coffee over there.
Roy had you freaking out for no reason. No, Licata said nobody was picking up. I just told him to call now.
I heard the
This is Bruce Hall, and this is what you call total confusion. We got somebody that's going to be calling in. Let's talk a little bit about all the bad things that have been happening.
It's just it
in Sochi, like sushi only with an O.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. First of all, we got all these great tweets back. Twitter is hell. The greatest thing about Twitter is it's instant information. So when these people are checking in, you just watch for the phone. There you go. When these people are checking in, all we're hearing about is no knobs on doors, no water. They have toilets that are next to each other.
Don't flush.
Don't flush your toilet paper after you use
it. Drink the water.
Put it in this bucket.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's just maybe I think it's because they just weren't quite ready. Now, that's all I'm saying. Now, I will say this. They got ready for that opening night. John Licata. Hey, buddy, sorry about that.
Did they get ready for
the opening? Hey, Bruce, thank you.
I got John Licata. John, tell everybody what the name of your organization is, and we're gonna go at it for the next 9 or 10 minutes here and get you on heck of a show here. Tell everybody what the name of your organization is and what it is you do.
Our organization is the Wrestlers in Business Network. And first and foremost, guys, I want you to know it's a business network comprised of professionals with ties to wrestling. But that being said, Bruce, if you have a passion for wrestling or a passion for business, you're invited.
All right.
And it is the fastest growing business networking organization in the country right now.
All right.
Now there's an event that's going to be happening real soon. Now, you know, we go out over the air. We go on the internet everywhere, but over the air, we're like Western Connecticut all the way down into kind of Central Jersey and most of the boroughs of Manhattan, not really on Long Island. But we have something going on at Princeton in Princeton, right? Real soon?
Yes, actually next week the Princeton chapter, Joe Savino and Joanne Savino are the people behind this, in Princeton Junction, New Jersey, on Village Road at the Mercer Oaks Golf Country Club. Joe is bringing in Anthony Robles as a keynote speaker to kick off their first event. It is Thursday, February 13th at 6:30. You could just Google it, I'm sure, and you'll find out about it. Or just, you know, come to our network at www.wrestlersinbusiness.org, and you can find some information about it. But we have currently 6 chapters going around the country: Philadelphia, Princeton, D.C., Cleveland, Des Moines, Iowa, and Denver, and hopefully here in the coming months we'll have 4 to 6 more.
Well, I mean, the thing I love about this organization is, and for those of you out there listening to the show right now and listening to what John has to say, if you've known wrestlers that have wrestled in high school and college and have, you know, have stuck with it for any number of years, they're some of the most They're some of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And the reason I say that is because it's such a tough sport that it brings a lot of other things out of you that you normally don't see in some other sports. And what's great about all of these get-togethers we have, John, and we just recently had one in downtown Washington for Beat the Streets DC. And, of course, people in New York know all about Beat the Streets in New York City. Tell them about Beat the Streets and what that's about.
Yeah, Bruce, just, you know, 2 weeks ago, and you were there, Patton Boggs was our host business, and we had 40 to 45 professionals that were invited for our for a networking social at the offices of Patton Boggs downtown, and it was really to recognize and to bring attention to the Beat the Streets concept. And Beat the Streets is in a variety of cities across the country, and it's about getting our kids, our inner city kids, involved in the sport. But it's not just technical and tactical. It's not just the physicality working out. It's about study habits. It's putting mentors and putting great people around those children, Often they come from split families, and giving those kids an opportunity to have some success and structure. And, you know, not all kids are from inner city are basketball players. In fact, the D.C. group, their makeup is 70% African-American and 30% Hispanic. And I just think it's a wonderful group that our group, our network is supporting financially with volunteerism and whatnot. You know, we play certainly a small role in the overall organization and the growth of this great group that started in New York with behind the funding of some, you know, wealthy and successful individuals who believed in the mission as we believe in their mission.
Well, I got to tell you, it was one of the most fun times I had in seeing the film of those kids doing that. And there are certain city areas across the country, Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, where in reality, sports in general in the city schools the city schools in a lot of situations are run down to begin with. You know, things aren't as they should be. They're not as good, you know, they're not nearly as large of programs, even for football. You know, in baseball in downtown Washington, there are no fields. I mean, it's very hard for the kids in Washington, D.C. to play baseball. As a matter of fact, all the high schools don't compete in baseball, which is strange to begin with for me. But wrestling is a sport that has been struggling only because it's being left out, like soccer is being left out, like crew is being left out, like gymnastics is being left out of all the Division I NCAA schools. And this is, in my opinion, John, you tell me if I'm wrong, I think it's because of football. And to the day I die, and that could be tomorrow for all I know, but I will go down as saying that football, NCAA football, is our biggest challenge because they take 85 full scholarships. And just because they raise a ton of money, because a football game on Saturday is the thing to do in college, wouldn't you agree? I mean, we've been doing it for years, you know, ever since football, basically the 30s and 40s and 50s. But because of Title IX, it's impossible for us to bring back certain sports, because then we have to add a women's sport that's equal to that. Do you think that's ever going to change? Because I had at that Beat the Streets get-together, I had a long talk with an athletic director who is at American University, and they don't even have a football team. Now, they do have a really good wrestling program. But he was telling me he didn't think it was ever going to happen.
Well, Bruce, Title IX creates opportunities for everyone and certainly women, and they're very well deserving of it. I don't totally buy 100% that that's the reason why programs are dropped.
I don't think it is either. I think the women deserve that. But I think football doesn't need 85 full scholarships.
I think what it comes down to is, you know, you mentioned about the NCAA earlier. You know, the NCAA is an institution that is directed and for and run by NCAA presidents and athletic directors. And football and basketball are the giants, and more so football, but certainly basketball as well. And as a result of that, it puts wrestling and other sports, but, you know, I'm a little bit more familiar with wrestling. It struggles to find its place amongst those giants. You know, wrestling, Division I particularly, you know, is struggling. And it's in my view, it's only going to get worse with these big conferences and the money and perhaps even paying the athletes, as you've heard about. Where's that money come from? Well, it comes at the expense of the other sports. And when universities were founded years ago, athletics was part of the institutional and academic experience, and now it's sort of separate of it. So it in today's environment, it creates a situation where wrestling programs and soccer programs and gymnastics programs have to fend for themselves financially, and become standalone. And as a result of that, we're seeing less and less of athletic opportunities at the Division I level outside of basketball and football. You know, I don't think it's sort of the unintended consequence of Title IX and,
right.
and the growth of the other sports.
I hear you.
It is what it is. You know, in our view and in what we've tried to do with our wrestling group and our business group is clearly demonstrate that there are good people involved in our sport that give back at the institutional level and the community level. And guys like you, I mean, I think you're a clear example. There are many examples like you of people who competed in a sport, felt good about it. It affected their career and their view of the world, and you continue to give back. I don't know many people who give back more than you do, Bruce, whether it be, you know, funding baseball events and just giving kids opportunities, boys and girls.
Well, let me ask you a question because we got about a minute left or so here. And, John, I may ask you to stay on if you'd like, but tell people how they can – is there a phone number they can call to join your organization?
Wait, you can always – if you have interest, you're welcome to call me at 703-928-5467, 703-928-5467. I live in Central Virginia. But you can go to our website at www.wrestlersandbusiness.org. And if you're a member of LinkedIn, just search Wrestlers in Business Network as a subgroup, and you'll get access to thousands of other professionals with ties to wrestling. It's that easy. It's that easy. Currently, we have well over 6,000 members, and we hope our goal was to get to 7, but we've just adjusted it. We hope to get to 10,000, Bruce.
John, I can't thank you enough for coming on. And I got to tell you, what you're doing, in my opinion, with this group is you are building an alliance of really good people. I can't tell you all the people I've been lucky enough to meet because of you. John Licata, everybody. John, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for giving us the exposure here.
You got it, buddy. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. Won't you
please, please help. And we're back. Welcome back. We're in the second hour here. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion, AM 1230 WFAS. Touched on some good stuff. Had a couple guests already as we enter into the home stretch. And I guess, Bruce, now is as good a time as always to bring up what happened in the NCAA basketball world just last night.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
It's not before you know it, I'll be driving to the Masters listening to, that'll be the end of March.
Yep.
First weekend in April, Final Four, and mm-hmm. the two weekends before that. I can't wait for March Madness. A lot of good teams.
Yeah, a lot of good teams. A lot of the big storyline in college basketball this year is the parity, except for last night when college basketball star Marcus Smart of Oklahoma University went
into the stands. Is that Keith Smart's son by any chance? Keith Smart, who hit the game winner in the undefeated season for Bobby Knight's Indiana Hoosiers? Probably not, because the other Smart, Keith Smart, was like 6 feet tall and skinny. Mm-hmm. This kid's a stud.
Yeah, one of the top players in the country.
Can't believe he didn't. I thought he was going to. Isn't he a sophomore or something?
He is a sophomore. A lot of people thought that he was going to forego his sophomore season and be a one and done from Oklahoma State and enter into the draft this past year. A lot of people had him high on their board, and a lot of people thought that he was going to be a top five or could still be a top five pick entering this year's NBA draft. A lot of people still think that Andrew Wiggins is the number one overall. But regardless, this is one of the top players in the country at the college basketball level, and Oklahoma State is losing, and they ended up losing, to Texas Tech. The game was in Texas Tech. Smart went into the stands. There was
he fell into the stands, basically,
right.
And he was getting up, and somebody said something to him. Big fat guy, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Big fat guy, it looked like he apologized for what he said, and that wasn't good enough. Looked like Smart just kind of pushed him real hard. And I didn't think it was terrible, but you can't put your hands on somebody.
You can't touch.
No, you can't do that. And see, that, unfortunately, you know what? in the heat of a ball game, and they lost the game.
They ended up losing 65-61.
And it was how many seconds were left? Hardly any.
It was towards the end of the game. I don't have the exact amount of time left, but it was towards the end of the game. He was already frustrated. They're already down at this point, closing into the final stretch of which is a big upset. Oklahoma State was until tomorrow, the 19th ranked team in the country right now.
Right.
With the loss, they drop below West Virginia in the Big 12 standing. So this is a big time loss for this OK State team, who's trying to make a case to be a good seed in the tournament. They're still going to get in, but the booster apparently, well, I shouldn't say he's a booster.
He's a super techie or whatever. It's Texas Tech. I mean,
the guy who is a season ticket holder in the front row, most likely a booster, but not sure if he is or not. But apparently he said some very racial remarks to Marcus Smart.
That's what Marcus Smart said. And you know, we don't know what he said.
Right.
We'll never know what he said. Maybe even the people next to him will never know what he said. But in my opinion, somebody should actually talk to the people that were in the stands, and they should talk to Marcus, and straighten it out and not spend a ton of time on it, because after that happened, he went on his way.
Yeah.
They sat him down. It was over. Listen, stuff like that happens. If the guy did make a racial comment, if he did call him the N-word, which is what I've seen
reported,
then somebody needs to take his season tickets away from him, mm-hmm. and then let him sue the university and let them deal with it however they want. Maybe they can put him in the top of the stadium somewhere. But there's no room for that. And speaking of racial insensitivity, can we talk about what happened at the Olympics?
Yeah.
Listen, anybody that listens to me or knows me knows I'm not a big Obama fan anyway. I'm not a big fan of this new healthcare system. It's going to make all of us poor. I'm not a big fan. I mean, you know, when you have to rely on young people to buy stuff to be successful, good luck. They don't have any money and they don't need insurance, okay? That's stupid. It's all a government ploy to control more and more of our gross national product. Anybody that knows anything about economics knows that. And if you know anything, that's just why I'm not big on him. But he is our leader. And I'm a United States citizen. And if that woman indeed sent that tweet that had a picture of a banana that they were hanging in front of a picture of he and Michelle, I told Matt's so far to the left, he falls off the globe. But I told Matt, I'd pick up and leave. And Matt talked some sense into me right away and said, no, you wouldn't. You're not going to leave. You're not going to kill all those kids' dreams. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. It made me so mad when I saw that. I wanted to hit somebody. I wanted to grab somebody. I don't care. This woman is in the Russian parliament. She's not just a former athlete, okay? She lit the flame with another guy, a big old Russian dude that's evidently had something to do with. He's also a member of parliament. He's a politician. I know that I don't know if he's in parliament or not like she is. But he had something to do with Americans not being able to adopt Russian children. And I've read that on three or four locations. You need to get off your butt and read and not look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Matt's got to talk now. He's going to talk.
I didn't. I was just saying.
But you did talk. Talk me off of the mountain earlier.
What he was
today.
Connected to was the loss to America in 19.
Well, that was true on the hockey loss.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not the only connection he had. If you looked at everything about it. But anyway, to make a long story short,
that is
so low class.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, that is low class. We were trying to compare that to something that we would do over here, you know, if somebody came over here and did. I can't imagine throwing mud in the face of a leader during the Olympics.
Well,
you know?
The NBC coverage kind of did it. I don't know if they did it intentionally or not, but there was a story being run during, I want to say, the opening ceremonies of the Olympics about the terrorist attacks that happened against the British people, I believe, and they were doing a memorial videotaping of it, and NBC cut that out of their replay and instead did an interview with, I think it was like Michael Phelps or something like that, because NBC came out and they said that they wanted to target their replay and their programming towards American citizens, and this terrorist attack that happened overseas in I believe Europe, in England, had nothing to do with American citizens. So I believe that's kind of a smack in the face to me, NBC. I mean, that I think that's – it's on the same level. It's not as racist, obviously. Tweeting out a picture, holding up a banana, aiming that at the American president is completely uncalled for. But I think NBC, very classless move of cutting out something that we know very – we're very familiar with, you know, with terrorist attack videos here in America. And I think that if some other country cut out something that we had to do with 9/11, we would – we'd throw a fit.
Well, they also did it this year by editing out parts of the IOC chairman's speech against any kind of discrimination based on anything. Yeah. So they cut it out this year, too.
NBC, right?
Yeah, NBC did this.
I just think that politics have no place in the Olympics.
Right.
Completely. I mean, 0%. Having said that, boy, there are some great pictures. There's some great stories. They made a little bit of fun about the Russian group that are, you know, putting on the Olympics, not being ready, because they're still actually building. There's construction going on right now trying to finish certain places. So I don't know if people are doubling up, tripling up. I've seen a lot less talk or chatter on Twitter and on Facebook about problems they're having. I'm not seeing much of that. It's almost like our people got together and went, you know what, let's just enjoy the Olympics. It is what it is, and let's quit reporting all the crap. And I hope that's what they're doing. I really do, because if that's what they're doing, then they've made a, you know, Mike Wise is over there with his entire family. Evidently his nephew or niece, I think it's his nephew, is participating in the Olympics. And you know, it's kind of funny to read this, that, and the other, but you know, What's happening is, in my opinion, there's no place for it. And if you don't agree with me, give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So the Olympics, there are, if you're bored listening to people talk about how bad the conditions are in the bathrooms and you have to hold hands with the person while you're taking a dump.
Make a bet.
Or you can't, you know, you can't flush a toilet paper, or there's plenty of other things to do, including exactly what Bruce just said. You can make a bet. And there are tons of things that you can bet at. There's tons of odds, much like the Super Bowl a week ago where we read you out, you know, if the person who sang the national anthem was going to wear gloves, which she did not. And there's a billion other things you can
she
bet
She didn't
on.
Wear gloves,
she did not
she?
Wear gloves. And Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which was...
Oh, he did have not have
had
a
no
shirt on.
Shirt on which
but
was,
he didn't sing. He lip-synced.
Well,
that was the...
They didn't plug their guitars in, yeah.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. That was Matt's straight cash, homie. But this week, we'll go down our should we go down our complete list of Sochi odds? Because I have that as well.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about it.
So the most gold medals, Norway is the favorite, 6-5. USA, number 2, 5-2. Germany, 7-1. Russia, the home city, and Canada both come in 9-1. Australia, South Korea, and China, 40-1.
You know, that just goes to show you how top stacked everything is. It's either Norway, us, Russia's 9-1.
Russia's 9-1 in Canada.
Well, they don't have any snow over there, first of all. They haven't really been able to practice much because Evidently, it's a lot colder here, and there's more snow in Pennsylvania than there is in Sochi, Russia right now.
It's the polar vortex. We stole their cold.
Well, we do have the polar vortex.
Plus, capitalism. You got to factor into how many people are sent. You know,
Matt's not worried about these Iranian battleships, by the way. They're like within striking distance of Washington, D.C. right now.
You got to take into account how many Olympic athletes I've been sent over by each country. You know, U.S., I think they sent over the most ever.
How many did we bring over?
I don't.
It was like 94. Is that
it's
right?
It's some ridiculous number. It's the most all time that has ever sent it. So that's a lot of the reason why the U.S. is 5-2. You know.
Hey, check this out. It says Olympic curling, but it's not Olympic curling. It's the USC football coach who will be the coach of Southern Cal for the first game of the 2014 regular season. Jack Del Rio is 1-2. But they just signed him, so this is old.
Yeah,
he just signed a two-year extension with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
so that these odds are going to change. Steve Sarkisian is 5-1. Chris Peterson is 4-1. Franklin, Charlie Strong's 10-1.
Charlie Strong is the coach at Texas.
Right, yeah. He just said John Gruden is 20-1. Cam Cameron is 40-1. Herman Edwards is. What if Herman Edwards took the job?
I'm pretty sure.
You play to win the game. You don't play to play. He's crazy anyway.
It's Steve Sarkisian.
Well, we were gonna. You know what we were gonna talk about a little
bit
today too.
Those must be from December.
Contrary to Turtle, whatever his name is, we're gonna talk a little bit about baseball. And let's just look over the baseball futures, and let's talk about these teams real quick. I can talk about baseball 12 months out of the year. As a matter of fact, if I do get syndicated, if something good happens to my show in the next few months, I'm going to, you know, if I do get another show, it's going to be a baseball show. You know who's got a great baseball show? Al Galdi has a great baseball show. It's called Chin Music. It's on Saturdays. It's really good. But anyway, Detroit Tigers have the best odds to win the World Series this year. I'm almost surprised at that because, you know, they made some big moves. They got rid of some people. But they're 7-2 right now to win the American League pennant. My bad. The Boston Red Sox are 11-2, and the New York Yankees are 11-2. Now, this is scores and odds, and this is like an average of all of the different casinos. Okay, Tampa Bay is 8-1. The Rangers are 10-1. The Angels are 10-1. Baltimore Orioles are 18-1. That's not a surprise. Seattle's 20-1. Seattle's making some major moves in the baseball market. The problem with Seattle is they're just a little too thin on pitching, and they're a little too thin on hitting, which is a problem when you're an American League team. Chicago White Sox 20-1. Cleveland's 25-1. We should get Tony Mazur on here and see what he thinks about that. Kansas City Royals are 25-1. Toronto's 25-1. That is pretty much the bottom, in my opinion, of what's going to be happening there. That's pretty much the National League pennant odds. This is more interesting here. The Dodgers are 11-4. Now, everybody knows the Dodgers have got a lineup. I mean, their lineup's so strong right now. Matt Kemp's batting fifth, okay? Puig will probably lead off. I mean, they're paying these guys a ton of money. AJ Ellis is batting eighth for them, and the guy hits 300 every year. St. Louis Cardinals are 5-1. They have the best pitching staff, in my opinion, in the league. Them and the Dodgers are about even. Washington Nationals are 5-1 also. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it, but you know they do have a pretty good team if on paper. Cincinnati Reds are 8-1. They haven't really made a comeback from losing a few people. They lost Arroyo. They haven't replaced him. Bronson Arroyo, if you don't know this, just signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks. We were talking about that earlier. The Atlanta Braves are 10-1. I was listening to a show on the way in today, and B.J. Upton's little brother was being interviewed, Justin, but you know, Great Bridge High School kid, Chesapeake, Virginia. Hello, giving me some insight about what they're expecting to do. They just paid Freddie Freeman God knows how much money. They gave Freddie Freeman, God, I want to say $130 million for 7 years. That's ridiculous. Freddie Freeman can hit, but 7 years, $130 million. They gave B.J. Upton too much money, remember? They gave him $15 million a year, and he didn't have an on-base percentage over 280, I don't think, last year. Pittsburgh Pirates are 12-1. They're never going to win it. They just they're two or three players short of having the kind of team that can go to the playoffs even. I think the Diamondbacks are the best bet on the board, people. 20-1, are you kidding me? They have four or five excellent starting pitchers. They have possibly the best player in the league in Goldschmidt at first base. He's a monster. They have three good outfielders. They have, you know, they got Montero behind the plate. This is a team that, in my opinion, could surprise everybody if they stay healthy. The Phillies are 20-1 also. I don't think the Phillies have a chance in hell to do anything. They're like, their average age is like 35 years old, isn't it? I have Carlos.
They're not very young.
Carlos Ruiz came back as their catcher. Jimmy Rollins is 38. He's their shortstop.
They gave Ruiz a big
Chase game. Utley is their second baseman. He's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Ryan Howard can't walk. He's at first base. Roy Halladay retired. I mean,
who's their third baseman?
Their third baseman.
They don't have one
right now, they have two kids. The guy that finished the season there may not be the guy that makes the team. Their best prospect's third baseman. He's an African American kid. He's really good, and I forget his name, but he's a stud. But he might not be ready for the majors this year. They're not going to do anything in that division.
Is it Miguel Franco?
Yes. And do you know who the most improved team is going to be for all of you New Yorkers listening? I think the Mets. The Mets are good. They have a great pitching staff. Need some help in the bullpen. Still got, but I mean, they've added some pieces to the hitting puzzle, to the run scoring puzzle. You know, when they figure out what's going on at first base and decide, you know, whether they're going to bring their second baseman over to first or if they're going to leave him at second, figure out what they're going to do at short. This team is going to get better as the year progresses. I saw a lot of the Mets late in the year last year, even in AAA. And they were playing some ball. They had the best record in AAA in the Pacific Coast League. The Las Vegas 51s.
The problem with the Mets is the division that they play in.
Yeah, that is a problem.
I mean,
but
Nationals,
when Philadelphia sucks like they do, it gives them
a little bit of hope there with the Phillies being down. But, I mean, the Braves are one of the hottest teams in baseball. And then you have the Nationals who are loaded. And then there's the Mets. So then now that you're hoping for a wild card spot, really.
It's going to be tough.
I mean, it's going to be tough to win win the East. And then you're talking about a wild card spot where then you're getting into play some of the Central, NL Central teams who have been on fire in recent times. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, but I agree. I think the Mets are going to be better. I think they're going to be better than they were. And I don't think they're going to finish towards the bottom of the league. I think Miami holds that spot and they've locked that down. But I think that the Mets are still a few pieces away from a real contention, a playoff spot in the NL.
My Giants are 10-1, and 10-1, in my opinion, I know, Matt, I'm sorry. I try to eat my microphone, for those of you that can't tell. I love it. You know, it's from my singing days. I used to put it in our – you used to be able to put a microphone
– We heard you earlier. You did not have singing days.
No, trust me, I have a great voice.
That was back in the
– I still have a great voice.
You know, back in
I just have to let it go.
Back in the karaoke days.
Hey, I'm going to leave the Dodgers alone. They're not going to win because they're the Dodgers.
They're top odds right now, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they are. They're 11-4, which is almost 3-1. I'm leaving them alone. You know why? Because I leave the favorite out of races too in horses race. St. Louis, I think, has the best shot at winning the National League pennant this year, and I think it's going to be a surprise. But I think the Giants might have a run this year because they're an every other year team anyway. They took last year off. This year they should be better. Pablo Sandoval has lost 30 pounds. He's in the best shape he's probably ever been in.
Panda.
Start of spring training. They've got, you know, when Ryan Vogelsong is your number five, you're in pretty good shape on your starting. Timmy looked like old Timmy at the end of the season last year. He seems to be doing a lot better. Cardinals, though, man. The Cardinals pitching staff. Yeah. The Cardinals have eight guys that could start on anybody's first five.
Mm-hmm.
Eight. And they have a bullpen, too. I just don't see any way that the Cardinals are not going to be somewhere around the top of their division. I just don't see it happening. And I see them, you know, having the kind of team that can go a long way.
Those Cardinals are good. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to the Pirates this year.
I'm going to take the D-backs at 20-1 just for the hell of it. I may go out there and throw $500 at a casino futures window and just take a big shot at that.
The Reds, Pirates, and Cardinals, man, that Central Division is tough.
We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Oh, we're back.
Are we back?
Great intro music.
I can't even hear anything.
We have the best intro music here. I will say that.
For all I know, I'm not on.
But that's okay.
Am I on, Matt?
Yeah, we're back.
Are you sure, Matt?
The MLB. We're getting into the MLB. Which, as I'm bringing
Matt,
up
am
these,
I on?
As I'm bringing
Are
up
you
these
sure?
schedules, the New
How
York
come
Yankees.
I can't hear my earphones?
The New York Yankees play the Florida State Seminoles on Tuesday, February 25th, coming up.
Yep.
And we all know who plays for the Florida State Seminoles. And if you don't, it's a guy who won the Heisman Trophy this
Alleged
past year,
rapist.
Jameis Winston.
And I'm sure he's a good kid. Huh?
He plays for Florida State.
Why is he not with your daughter?
Third team All-American.
Right.
For the baseball team. And now he's taking on the Yankees, who this kid, Jameis Winston, will probably get drafted in the MLB. Has he been drafted before? He could be drafted. I mean, the kid's
You know
player.
What? I'm pretty sure his plans were to – he's going to be an NFL – trust me, he's going to be an NFL quarterback.
I agree.
As long as he stays out of prison.
But we could see something like
and
a
Russell
Wilson.
And the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm still – I'm not convinced. You know that.
I don't even want to
talk about it. Because, you know, if you notice how you haven't heard anything about it, what does that let you know? That lets
it's
you
over?
Know there, no, there's civil, something civil going on. Something civil, gag order, money being changed hands, something like that.
Well, the James,
maybe not.
The Jameis Winston conversation.
He did give her a ride home on his scooter.
The Jameis Winston.
Or he offered her
the
one.
The Jameis Winston conversation leads
Matt
you
give
to
me a funny look like, what a scooter?
One, and that is Russell Wilson joining the Texas Rangers spring training camp. Do you think that having an NFL now Super Bowl winning quarterback who's still on his rookie deal, him attending a Texas Rangers spring training camp, do you think he should be allowed to do that?
No.
If you're the Seattle Seahawks,
absolutely
do you let
not.
Your Super Bowl quarterback?
No, I don't want him in camp because he could break his leg just working out. And I'm not convinced he's going to be there.
No, he said that he's going to
be
there.
Well, I think what he's going to do is he's going to visit. He's probably going to take BP. He's probably going to take mm-hmm. some ground balls. He's probably going to be there maybe 4 to 7 days.
Well, he's not competing.
He's
for,
probably,
we can all agree
yeah.
he's not competing
oh, he
for,
can't.
For
he can't.
A spot in the 40.
No.
Man.
They just
There's
want
no
to they want to see his skills. You know what it's going to be? It's going Here's the only thing I don't like about it from a standpoint of if I was an administrator with that group,
mm-hmm.
okay, when he comes because it's the Rangers. It's yeah. already a It's already a circus. It's the Rangers. Yeah. The Rangers are a circus every year because they haven't won the big one. And they always have a lot of great guys in camp, and their expectations are always very high, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, they're not all that high. This is one of the few years that I've seen the Rangers not be a... Because so many of their players are gone now.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and a lot...
Well,
they haven't
their biggest player they had in a while is now in Los Angeles.
Yeah, or second baseman. I mean, you know, they've got... I mean, they've got a shot, but not a great shot. I mean, it's do or die this year for Jerry DePoto, the GM of the California Angels,
mm-hmm.
and for Mike Socia. And by the way, those guys don't even like each other.
Yeah.
Now, if they like each other, it's happened recently. Because last year, they weren't talking. And last year, when they were talking, it was like, you know, I'm the boss. Okay, you're the boss. So what? That was that kind of talk. And look what happened to the Angels. They made maybe the worst sign in the history of baseball signing Albert Pujols. Mm-hmm. And what did he do?
Yeah.
He was out all year. Why? Well, because he's one of those guys.
I mean, does
everybody's
he still play
pretty...
for the Angels? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Come
yeah.
on. I mean,
well, he does, and he has I mean, to have a banner yeah. year.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The guy was supposed to be, you know, this big-name guy they bring in over, and they give him a stupid, ridiculous contract, and – Is he? I mean, he's not the best. That's player. What, see, he's not the best player on that team. Not even close.
Roy, look, you know I'm a baseball guy, right? And mm-hmm. I still coach college ball in the summer. And I talk to GMs. I talk to coaches. I talk to managers. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a big fan of big, fat, slow guys and paying them at the back end of their career. Yeah. Give me a guy. I'd rather have a bunch of guys that have 1 or 2 year deals and they're actually going to work hard. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to make life. I mean, like, I understand that to sign Timmy Lincecum is on the second year of a 2 year deal this year. Mm-hmm. He's only on a 2 year deal. Matt Cain, they signed, you know, San Francisco for like 6 or 7 years, and look what happened last year. His ERA was over 5 at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff happens to guys.
Baseball's a long season.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong in 162 games, and you're talking about 10 years of that, I believe, is what Winnie the Pooh Hole's got.
You know, all of those, all starters get approximately 40 starts. That's a lot of starts, you know. And not only that, there's just so many little things that can happen during the course of the year. A lot of times, guys will have a great year and you won't even notice it except in their earned run average, mm-hmm. a pitcher. They may be 7-14 but have an ERA at 3.24. Why? For some reason, the damn team never scores when they mm-hmm. pitch. Why? Nobody knows. Then another guy will have an ERA of upper fours, and he's 15-5. Why? Because for some reason, the team averages 6 runs a game when he pitches. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. That's what's so great about the game of baseball. And that's why I can't wait to get to Arizona.
And there,
I can't. I love Arizona.
Speaking of big money and big movement, you got to bring up the L.A. Dodgers. And when you're bringing up the L.A. Dodgers, they're making waves and making headlines, but in all the wrong sports. Magic Johnson and the ownership group that owns the L.A. Dodgers, a team that is a lot of Vegas odds the number one favorite to win the World Series this year. Their owners aren't even focused on baseball right now. They just bought the L.A. Sparks, the WNBA women's basketball team.
Oh, I've been to that.
I mean, how confident can you be as a team, you know, a coaching staff, a fan base, when your ownership group isn't even focused on you weeks before your season starts, and instead they're across town trying to save a women's basketball team? I mean, there are some bad ownership groups In professional sports, and here in Washington, we have seen front row one of the worst ownership groups in the last 20 years. But, and I'm not saying
you're
that
talking about football.
I'm not. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm talking about the Dodgers. I'm not saying that the I'm not talking about. I don't think the Dodgers are one of the worst ownership groups.
Well, Stan Kasten is the head of their
group. And right now they're focused on saving the Sparks weeks before they're supposed to start spring training.
Well, let's talk about this first. Let's talk about the Dodgers, because they didn't have a number 5 starter until they just signed Paul Mahalan. Now, I'm sitting here. If you look at the Dodgers, and if you look at their roster, you know, their 40-man roster, mm-hmm. they have Josh Beckett on their 40-man. Josh Beckett hasn't thrown in almost a year. Okay, he would be their number 5 if he was healthy. He's not healthy. Chad Billingsley isn't even back from Tommy John surgery. Okay, Zach Greinke is arguably their number 1.
Yeah.
Dan Heron is their 4. I wanted Dan Heron in San Francisco. I thought
you don't want Dan Heron,
I like Dan Heron. The second half of the season, his earned run average was right at 3.
The kid throws as hard as I do.
No. He throws 90-91.
No.
That's all you have. Yeah, he does. No. Trust
Dan Heron.
I went to every
lollipops.
Game he started. He throws 90-91 fastballs, and he's a slider guy anyway.
Oh,
he's a guy that turns the ball over. Don't argue with me about baseball.
I was so glad
see
Dan Heron.
Well, he just got $10 million a year for 2 years. So he's that bad. Okay. And then you got Chris Perez. They signed a guy that Tony Mazur hates, who's the guy that got busted for pot for somebody set his dog marijuana Federal Express.
Yeah. I wonder
his dog.
Was.
So, yeah. Well, Chris Perez isn't in Cleveland anymore. He's in LA where he needs to be because they, you know, it's almost legal in LA.
Where everybody gets paid.
Yeah. You got Brian Wilson, who's got another year on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Wilson, arguably, what a find he was last year. He ends up being the best 8th-inning guy probably in August and September in the National League,
mm-hmm.
and he's so mad at the Giants. Every time they play him, he'll shut them down. But they don't have anybody else. You know, they got A.J. Ellis behind the plate. He's an average catcher. He actually played second base for a long time. And you got Adrian Gonzalez, who arguably is getting paid too much money. You got D. Gordon kind of as your you got Juan Uribe at third base.
Yeah.
Okay. You got Hanley Ramirez at short. How many games is Hanley Ramirez going to be able to play this year before he goes on the DL?
The team is they're built on name.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're a bunch of jersey sellers.
I think so.
Which is what scares me is when you put a team. I mean, it doesn't really scare me because I could care less about the Dodgers. But if I'm betting on the favorite and the favorite horse is a bunch of name and jersey sellers and their ownership group is off buying women's basketball teams,
right?
This is a mess to me.
Absolutely. Look at their outfield. Carl Crawford has got to have that year this year. Andre Ethier had a terrible. He had the first down year he's had in years last mm-hmm. year. Matt Kemp didn't play last year.
You know Matt Kemp.
Though. Yeah, but I don't like Matt Kemp because I know about his background, and I don't like Matt Kemp because I think he juiced in the day, and I think that's why he's always hurt. Yasiel Puig, God, if they can keep him alive, he could be the MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. But the guy drives 130 miles an hour down the road, and he's 23 years old, and he's from Cuba and probably hadn't driven that much. I mean, he could end up dead before the first opening day. Yeah. You don't know. Scott Van Slyke's on their 40-man, so he'll probably be in wherever their AAA team is. No, the Dodgers, they do have some
players.
They
have talent, but the team worries me, man. I mean, it doesn't really worry.
They have the best pitcher.
Care less,
well, they got the best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Clayton Kershaw is a monster. Kenley Jansen's their stud in the bullpen. He's their closer. But Wilson could close, but he's not. Chris Perez is a closer. Mm-hmm. He's going to pitch the seventh inning.
They're a solid
probably.
Baseball team. And out west, they have to be the favorites in that division. I know you're a Giants.
No, they are. Look, with their 11-4 and the Giants are 10-1, mm-hmm. They're the favorites for sure. I just don't think – I just see a bunch of DLs. They're all DL guys. Yeah. Even Grinke's a DL guy.
It
takes is just
a twisted ankle. Exactly,
my oblique.
Exactly,
it's my oblique.
They're a twisted ankle, a head turned too quick. Pinching nerve somewhere. They're that away from completely tanking.
It's going to be amazing. When we get back, we're going to look at the. We're going to look at the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. I don't need to look at the Giants. I'm going to let Bochy break the Giants down next week because they go pitchers and catchers go this week. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Home stretch here. Lots of it's, believe it or not, the technical difficulties that we have are still better than the Sochi Olympics. So I'm on, right? Yeah, we're here.
You've cut all the music off. Boy, it sure did get there fast.
We don't like that song.
Matt's
anyways.
Having a great morning.
Not on
here.
Purpose.
That song's not any good anyways.
Yeah. All you need is love. Everybody. Hey. Beatles 50th anniversary. Yeah, I was 10 years old. Yeah, I sang
50th anniversary of them coming to America.
Whatever. Okay, so it was. It's basically their 53rd anniversary.
But that was when they really started to get cool.
Let me tell you something about the Beatles.
The Brits knew what was going on.
Meet the Beatles. The album. I sang every song on both sides. 2 or 3 times every night, and I know it drove my father crazy and my mother, but they let me do it because I had such a beautiful voice.
When we go to break.
We're going to talk about the Yankees. We were going to talk about the Diamondbacks. I went, let's talk about the Yankees. They're more fun to talk about. First of all, A-Rod dropped his lawsuit. Well, gee, what happened? Did he wake up? I mean, hey, I hope he fired his lawyer because it had to be his lawyer that filed the suit. Couldn't have been him.
You think so?
Because he's just too he's not even – why would you even think about suing the Players Association? They have nothing to do with it.
Oh, you mean steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally did that.
But my point is, how does that – I mean, can you believe that? I mean, can you believe that he even ever sued either one of them?
The thing that – gets me is
he's trying so hard just to have a shot at the Hall of Fame.
I mean, what are you suing for? You know? Like, do you want to get it reduced?
Damages.
You know, do you
Well, I don't
want
know. Evidently, he. I think, like, he sued to have it thrown. I think he wanted everything thrown
there was,
out.
I mean, you're not going to get it thrown out. Well, there of evidence.
Well, I know. It's the way they went about it. And I understand where he's coming from, but nobody feels sorry for him because he lied.
Right.
And see,
it was his first suspension, correct? This was the first one he's ever had, right? Was this his first suspension?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it was. Yep. And which, to me, if it was his first suspension, which, if I'm wrong, tweet at me at SportsManCave and correct me.
Yeah, or no, better yet, call us and tell us how stupid we are.
Or call me how dumb.
240-317-7294.
But I believe.
Ask for Matt.
I believe this is his first suspension. And I believe the first suspension ruling in baseball is 50 games.
Hey.
And the season is for your second time.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to break down the Yankees roster, and I'm going to give you my opinion as of February 10th, I think, today. I think it is the 10th.
I think it's the 9th.
No, the 9th was yesterday because I had a thing on it.
Today's the 9th.
Oh, my God. I can't tell. You showed me your phone. I mean, I can't even see your phone. It's so small. Hey, anybody ever hear of a guy named Manny Bañuelos? Dellin Betances, Cesar Cabral. These are guys on their 40-man roster I've never heard of. Preston Claiborne, Shane Green, Sean Kelly. Hiroki Kuroda. There's a guy I know. Ivan Nova. Ivan Nova is an overachiever. I like him. David Phelps, Michael. A lot of their success is going to be on what Michael Pineda does. You know, the guy that they got from Seattle. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yep.
He was out all last year. If Michael Pineda can be a consistent provider of 6-7 quality innings, the kid's a monster. He's 6'7", 260, and he's my son's age. Mm-hmm. He's 24 years old. He's not even 24. He's 23 years old. They've got David Robertson, who's going to be their closer. CeCe Sabathia, they got him listed at 290. We all know he's about 320 right now.
He's a big boy.
6'7". I love CeCe, but I just don't see CeCe. I see nothing but down years from this point on. Tanaka, they just gave the guy so much money, and he's going to be their number three.
That's a great number three to have.
Yeah, I know.
But he's unproven in Major League Baseball.
But now I'm also at the end of their starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Cervelli did 50 games. You know, he's one of the guys that got in trouble last year.
With the Miami
McCann is in New York. There's a reason he's in New York. Atlanta didn't want him anymore. And I'm going to tell you why Atlanta didn't want him anymore. Look, they paid B.J. Upton $15 million a year for 5 years. If Brian McCann was any good, he'd have gotten $15 million a year for 5 years. He's not. He signed as a free agent. He's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he's going to play half a season because he's going to get hurt. He's been getting hurt. He's had problems with his eyesight. I don't like Brian McCann.
John Ryan Murphy is listed as their backup catcher.
I don't even like Brian McCann, though. I just don't like him. They got Austin Romine, who's a pretty good kid. J.R. Murphy, yeah. J.R. Murphy is a stud. He played in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, I think, last year and did a really good job there. Mm-hmm. Infielders, they got Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter's going to be 40 years old in June. Derek Jeter isn't going to give him any quality. Well, hopefully Derek Jeter can play most of the year at shortstop. Is he a shortstop anymore?
Yeah, he's still a shortstop.
All right. Kelly Johnson's going to play second. KJ is going to play second base.
Brendan Ryan and Eduardo Nunez are their other two shortstops.
Brian Roberts is going to start at second base.
Yeah, former Oriole. That's what it looks like.
And you know, Brian Roberts has had more injuries in the last 6 years than anybody I've ever seen.
He had a couple his last two seasons in Baltimore.
Well, when he was healthy, he had 50 doubles. I wanted San Francisco to trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really did, but then that's when he started having those problems because he admitted to doing steroids 1 year. He admitted it, and that means he probably did them 3 or 4 years, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Brendan Ryan. Shoot, Brendan Ryan's a good ball player. Mm-hmm. He's a backup. Mark Teixeira, how many games is Mark Teixeira going to play? And how young is he? He's going to be 34 in April. I remember when Teixeira was 24. Wasn't that long ago. They're still mad at Teixeira for not signing in Baltimore. Remember?
Yeah.
Outfielders, Carlos Beltran. You know how I feel about Beltran. His middle name's DL. I don't like him. Jacob Ellsbury, great ball player. They're paying him way too much money. But then they don't care because they have
Ellsbury.
Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner may be the best player, most bang for the buck of anybody they have. And look who they have coming back to New York, the Candyman. I'm not talking about the other Candyman. I'm talking about they used to call Soriano, Alfonso Soriano, the Candyman, because when he signed with the Yankees, when he was really, really young, he was skinny as hell, and he ate all the candy in the clubhouse. They said that they could literally not leave candy around because he'd eat it all. And then they have Ichiro. Ichiro is already 40.
Well, they got Kelly Johnson as well, but yeah.
Kelly Johnson's an infielder. Here's the thing.
They have Kelly Johnson listed as a left fielder.
I got him here as an infielder. KJ's a second baseman. I'm just telling you, he's a second.
I'm just going off of what MLB.
Well, I know, and I'm going off MLB.com too. I'm looking at their 40-man roster. And if you know KJ, he played in Atlanta, right? Second baseman. He can play the outfield if he wants. I mean, hell, he might have to. Beltran, Brett Gardner, and Soriano, and Suzuki may all go down. You know, maybe they'll bring in somebody from – here's what – I just don't see the Yankees doing it. If you look at the Boston and I'm not even going to break Boston down, but where is the Yankees' consistency going to come from? Guys that are 34 to 40? How do you play a 162-game schedule counting on guys that old? Their pitching staff is much younger than their position players, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, Tanaka's not that old. Tanaka's young, but he's thrown 250 to 300 innings like 3 years in a row. Did you know that? In Japan, he threw almost 300 innings.
Yeah, he was a workhorse.
He pitched every fourth game.
Yeah, I was about to say, and they run on a different rotation than.
And they're worried about him. You know, he's probably a throwback kind of guy anyway. But how many years is he going to give you? And is he going to if he doesn't have success, and he starts getting hit, will he try harder? Will he try to throw harder? Will he change things? That's what gets you injured. You know, when you just reach back for a little extra. Pitchers are generally better when they just are working slowly, you know, just doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. When you got to reach back, sometimes you get into trouble. I just hope Nova has a good year. I like Ivan Nova. I've always liked him. Hiroki Kuroda, I like him too, you know. But these guys, you look at their birth dates. 1976, you know. 1975, you know. God. 1984. That's 30. You know, you 74, 77, 80, 77, 76. Ichiro was born when I was in college. 1973.
You said 84. That's 2 years older than me. Thanks for so you think I'm old?
You're old. Well, you're not old.
Thank you.
No, you're not old. Look, people 50 aren't old. I'm talking about major league old.
I know.
I just think the Yankees are probably going to finish in second, maybe third place. Because think about who they have. They got the Devil Rays.
Yeah.
Right? They got Toronto. Toronto's still looking to get better.
Toronto, you talk about a disappointment.
No, they spent too much money and didn't get anything out of it. Yeah.
That team was a major, major disappointment. The only team in the AL East to finish under 500, the Toronto Blue Jays. And we were very high on them last year. We thought they were going to be a good team. A lot of people had the Red Sox and the Blue Jays flipped positions.
Yeah, we didn't really know what the Red Sox were going to bring to the table because they had a new manager.
Yeah,
Bobby didn't do anything with
nothing,
them, which is not hard to believe. But you know, they just played so hard, and they and I think they just did it because of the chemistry and because of their manager. I think the Red Sox, in my opinion, they may win it again. I'd be surprised if they don't win it again.
I
don't know how
Tampa's.
How do you know? How does Tampa? How are you going to win indoors? I don't see anybody winning indoors like that. Now I could see having a roof over your head, a retractable, in Tampa, But that's like playing in a gym 81 times a year. That just has to get you down. You don't get any of the sunlight. You don't get any of the being outside. You don't get any of the wind. You get basically nothing.
And you're in Florida. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and you're really not in a great location either. I mean, if you've ever been down there, it's tough. It's really tough. Everybody's still all over that poor kid, Marcus Smart. Listen to me. Somebody please find out if he's related to Keith Smart. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of Smarts out there.
Smart is a pretty common last.
If you like baseball and if you like reading about managers, great piece in the Washington Post today by Adam Kilgore on Matt Williams. It's about 4 pages long. It's absolutely great. Roy, what are you going to do this week? You got any plans?
Oh, man. Well, I'm finishing off building my kegerator that I have in my basement. And
I meant sports-wise. Are you going to any events?
That's pretty sporty to me.
You going to any events? Yeah, that is sporty.
Well, the Capitals are on Olympic break, so I don't have any of those games to cover. I think the Terps are on the road, so I don't have anything to cover there. And West Virginia, I might go to one of the West Virginia games. I might cover one of those games.
You know what we're going to do next week? We're going to do a big breakdown on NCAA basketball because we're getting dangerously close to tournament time.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get those spam emails from all the teams. I'm a member of the U.S. Writers Association for basketball.
Yeah.
So
maybe you can vote on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm a voter on one of the on a couple of the like the Oscar Robbins. So I'm starting to get all the spam emails. Like Michigan State flooded my email box the other day.
All right, we'll be back next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Drive carefully out there.